Subheading: His power must become mighty, but not by his own power. The defunct League of Nations notwithstanding, and acknowledging that the EU is merely a regional government only, the United Nations is the only organization that is capable of becoming a world government. But unlike national governments, the United Nations has no nation of people or national group as its power base. The UN derives its power and authority solely from the consent of all its member nations. While primarily a creation of the Anglo-American dyad, to the extent that each nation relinquishes a portion of its own sovereignty, and to the degree that each nation contributes funds, military equipment, and personnel, to that extent the United Nations is empowered. Ultimately, though, the power behind the UN is the financier oligarchy, the very same monopolies behind the British Empire. However, it is apparent that the UN does not presently possess the power or authority to destroy organized religion, as Jehovah's Witnesses anticipate. Yet the Word of God assures us that at some point the Eighth King will receive a full grant of authority from all the kings of the earth, symbolized by 10, even as the Scripture says. And the 10 horns that you saw mean 10 kings, who have not yet received a kingdom, but they do receive authority as kings 1 hour with the wild beast. These have one thought, and so they give their power and authority to the wild beast. In other words, the eighth king will become mighty, not by his own power, but due to the power of all of earth's kings who give their power and authority to the wild beast. The 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom may symbolize all the nations that will fully empower the beast. The Bible thus interprets itself, indicating that the king of fierce countenance and the eighth king are identical. It should not be supposed, though, that the nations might give up their sovereignty without coercion. When organized religion is eventually annihilated by the eighth king, the prophecy says that even the kings of the earth, who originally gave their power to the eighth king, will stand at a distance because of their fear of her torment and say, "Too bad, too bad, you great city." Under the circumstances of global catastrophe and international crisis, it does not take a great deal of imagination to envision the UN acquisitioning the world's armies and even nuclear weaponry, so that no individual nation would dare challenge its power. In this way, the King Fearsome Countenance must become mighty in power. The newly elected Barack Obama has expressed his desire to enhance the cooperation between the American superpower and the United Nations. The President also announced his intention to reduce nuclear arms. Perhaps under extraordinary circumstances, the United States and Great Britain may even advocate turning over their vast arsenals to the control of the United Nations. As stated previously, there is a scheme afoot to have the UN issue some form of global currency as an alternative to the U.S. dollar, continuing to serve as the world's reserve currency. The IMF, a supranational agency created at the same time as the United Nations, has already begun issuing its own bonds in the form of special drawing rights. Under the guiding hand of London, China has quietly begun to offload its nearly $2 trillion U.S. Treasury's portfolio in favor of IMF-issued debt. Considering that Daniel 11:36 also says the King of the North will certainly prove successful until the denunciation will have come to a finish, it may rightly be concluded that the final manifestation of the King of the North and the King of Fierce Countenance are the same entity, and that the last king will succeed in sinking the American-led democratic nation-state system. The king of fierce countenance also apparently comes out of the symbolic north. Daniel 8:9 says, "And it kept getting very much greater toward the south, and toward the sun rising, and toward the decoration." Expanding his empire south, and toward the sun rising, east, and toward the decoration, evidently west, the prophecy seems intended to indicate that the king of fierce countenance comes from the north and expands his dominion in all directions to envelop the entire globe. This harmonizes with the many Hebrew prophecies that foretell a tyrant will come upon the world from out of the symbolic north. Isaiah, the 25th chapter, refers to the town of tyrannical nations, saying that the persecution from it is as a scorching heat, and as when the blast of the tyrannical ones is like a rainstorm against a wall. Furthermore, in that context, Isaiah 25:7 indicates that God will intervene and that he will swallow up the face of the envelopment that is enveloping over all peoples and the woven work that is interwoven upon all the nations. The envelopment that is enveloping over all peoples and enmeshing all the nations has to do with the imposition of a globe-strangling, tyrannical regime. That Jehovah would use that setting to speak of his doing away with death and wiping the tears from the eyes of his people is an indication of the horrors yet to be unleashed when the king of fierce countenance succeeds in causing widespread ruination.